We are delighted to have Dr. Mark Yarborough as our chapel speaker today. Beginning on July 1st, as you've just heard, he began serving as the sixth president of Dallas Theological Seminary, and he also serves as professor of Bible exposition. He has twin passions, one for the local church, the other for theological education, and they have worked in tandem for over 30 years. Along with his new responsibilities as president at DTS, he serves as an elder at his home church, Centerpoint Church in Mesquite, and he travels extensively leading tours and speaking at conferences. He's also authored several books and has a new book coming out very soon entitled Jonah, Beyond the Tail of a Whale, and he has been married to Jennifer, his high school sweetheart, for 29 years, and they have four adult children and a son-in-law. They've recently moved to Sunnyvale, Texas. Please join me today in welcoming our new president, Dr. Mark Yarborough.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It is so good to see you, and especially those of you that are new students. Today, welcome. We are thrilled that you are here. I bring also greetings to our returning students. We are thrilled that you are here and to a host of guests, alumni, and students also, and friends of Dallas Theological Seminary that are joining us online. We say welcome to you as well. Here we go for a very unique fall semester. Amen for that?
Amen.
It is unique. But you know what? God's got this, doesn't he? Amen. I'm going to do something. I'm going to ask if you would pray with me as we get started here today. Our Father, we need you more than ever. We are a very broken people, and we pause, and we acknowledge that, Lord, that we are nothing without you, and we can do nothing without you. Lord, we're a broken nation, and we need you. Lord, we are a broken world, and we need you. So, Lord, as we jump into things even this morning in our studies this week, as we have schedules and syllabi and books to read, we pause and we acknowledge the hurt and the pain in our culture, in our cities, and in the world. For tragic loss of life, for frustration that is expressed in so many different ways, Lord. Lord, help us to not forget that it's not a question of social reform. It's a question of heart reform. And we are broken and needy people. And what we see around us reminds us that we need a Savior. And Lord, we confess as a believing people, as a believing family, that we indeed have that Savior in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we move forward this semester, in this fall semester, in this moment of time, may we find our reliance upon Him and Him alone. Lord, as we think about the future, even today, guide our thoughts, guide my words. As we think about vision and stepping forward, may we not forget why we are here and why we are doing what we're doing. So we commit it to you. By the power of your Spirit, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 read, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. And here it comes for those of you that have taken BE 101 at Dallas Seminary. It says this in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Isn't that a great text? Okay, that was not the response I was looking for. Isn't that a great text? Somebody say amen to that. Let me recap the context for us. This is post-death, burial, and resurrection. So Jesus had endured the cross, correct?
Correct.
Jesus has conquered death. He has appeared numerous times over 40 days to the disciples. And on one occasion, he is meeting with them. And by the way, don't ever forget, post-resurrection, Jesus eats. Amen. Thank you. Amen. I've eaten with many of you, and you should say amen to that. Jesus eats post-resurrection in his post-resurrection body. And jump into the text at verse 6 after this interesting dialogue where Jesus says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They gathered around him and asked him this question, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Notice that Jesus did not say, guys, that's a boneheaded statement. Guys, you've missed it all. He did not say that. In fact, he implies just the opposite. Jesus says this. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. May I give you a Mark Yarborough paraphrased rendition of that text? Jesus says, the Father is the keeper of the clock. That day is coming, but right now is not that day. Instead, Jesus says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. In other words, Jesus says, between now, the moment that he was speaking, Acts 1:8, and that day, when the kingdom will be restored to Israel, Jesus says this, you got a job to do. And that job is to be my witnesses. And friends, while that was a charge from Jesus to the disciples, it certainly is extended to every committed Christian follower. And thus, as a Christian institution, it certainly applies to Dallas Theological Seminary. DTS, we got a job to do. Because of my new role, I am frequently asked, Dr. Yarborough, what do you see as the primary priorities DTS must address? This morning's message is not technically a sermon. It's a heartbeat and it's a vision looking forward. And may I phrase it this way, what's the job that we have to do in the days ahead? The mission of Dallas Theological Seminary as a professional graduate level school is to glorify God by equipping godly servant leaders for the proclamation of his word and the building up of the body of Christ worldwide. Let me say that one more time. The mission of Dallas Theological Seminary as a professional graduate level school is to glorify God by equipping godly servant leaders for the proclamation of his word and the building up of the body of Christ worldwide. Why? Out of that mission, I would like to articulate five responsibilities of the job that is in front of us in the days and months and years ahead. Five responsibilities of the job in front of us. Number one, friends, we must make the call to preach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must make the call to preach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1924, DTS started with a call to qualified men to preach in the pulpits across the United States and across the world. Friends, in our seal that sometimes I hope that you look at is embedded, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, this phrase, karuxan tan lagan, which simply says and means, preach the word. Preach the word. And friends, we have never lost that heartbeat. Now, we readily acknowledge that not all are called or equipped to preach. But here's what I know. Some are called to preach, but we are all called to proclaim. Amen? We are all called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, friends, like never before, we need to make a charge to take that gospel of Jesus Christ and to proclaim it in whatever field, whatever ministry, whatever endeavor that the Lord calls us to find ourselves in. We are called to take the good news of Jesus Christ into a world that is desperate to hear it. Friends, I have had more discussions in the last 6 months, more spiritual discussions than I have had in the last 4 or 5 years of my life. You want to know why? Because when it all falls apart, God does some of His greatest work in the midst of the mess. And we better believe that. And it's a call for those that are called to preach, preach the word. But we are all called to proclaim. It's time for us, as part of the church, to be the church. Number two, we must address mutually both the head and the heart. We must address mutually the head and the heart. Through the years, DTS has been known for academic rigor. Hold on. Let's let the returning students make a reply here. Through the years, DTS has been known for academic rigor. Stalwart degree programs. It's tough. It's hard. It's laborious. It demands effort. We want you to know things from the Word of God, right? I mean, how many of you have mastered this? Please don't raise your hand. Right? It's God's Word. It's deep. It's rich. It wasn't long ago that I remember sitting in your shoes. Can you sit in somebody's shoes? I was standing in your shoes, in your place, the Word of God, and I can remember thinking I knew things, and then some professor opening it up in a way that I'd not seen it before. God's Word is deep, and it's rich, and it's powerful, and it's accurate, and it's valuable. We're good at the head. Facts, figures, and by God's grace, that will never stop. We want to strive for excellence at Dallas Theological Seminary. We want you to know the Word. We're going to continue to anchor our students, you, in the unchanging, uncompromising, inerrant Word of God. But here's what I know. We live in a Genesis 3 world. And as I started off in my prayer, we are a broken people. 30 years ago, I'm convinced that every student that came to Dallas Theological Seminary had three pieces of the pain of the world, three pieces of luggage that they brought with them. And what I see today is I believe every student comes with 10. because our culture and our world is very messed up. And there have been horrific things that have happened to you. The pain of life is real. And what I know, friends, is that as we chase after knowing God's Word, we need to let God's Word fill in the cracks of our broken hearts. And over the weeks and months and years to come, through our student life and through a variety of other ways, through a push even from the classroom, we don't want to just go after your head. We want to go after your heart. Because here's what I know. If we fill ourselves up with just simply facts and figures, and we have not started that reformation of the heart, and if you are here as a student, and you come and you leave smarter with more facts and figures, but your heart is cold and calloused, then we have failed and so have you. Friends, we're going after the head and the heart. Number three. We must be both in the classroom and in the church. We must be both in the classroom and the church. Oh, I love classrooms at Dallas Theological Seminary. I love getting to hang out with you. And my colleagues on the faculty, they love getting to hang out with you. However, wherever, and whenever. And is that ever true this semester? Because we are privileged to get to make a journey with you. We believe in the classroom because amazing things happen there. But we want you to hear our heartbeat. We exist for the local church. We are here to strengthen you and that us together, as we go out of these hallways, that we are permeating the church of Jesus Christ. That we're leaders and that we're teachers and preachers and proclaimers and singers, and that we take the gifts and abilities that God has given us. And because of that, friends, we have had a unique opportunity over the last several years to partner in very unique ways with the local church, not just here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area of Chase Oaks and Watermark and Christ Chapel and Fort Worth and Wayside and San Antonio, but at North Point and Passion City Church in a variety of ways where we get to partner with a local church in residency to take and train and equip in ways that we never dreamed. So we must remain in the classroom. But we also must have an eye in partnership with the local church, because that is why we exist. Theological education, at its best, is rooted in the church. And our partnership with the local church must therefore be strong. Number four, we must be equipped with cultural intelligence that is rooted from biblical relevance. We must be equipped with cultural intelligence that is rooted from biblical relevance. In recent days, Dallas Seminary, we have had lots of discussion about what it means to take God's Word and to communicate that in a culturally relevant way. We must be able to think intelligently as we're dealing and talking with people that do not think the way we do or do not have a theological platform like we do. It's a post-Christian culture in which we are now existing. And so we must be strategic in how we engage the non-believing world. But here's what I know, friends. God's Word is true, and it is just as relevant today as it's ever been. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped. What? For every good work. When we let God's Word work through us and we live it out in a different way than the culture around us, may the culture look at us and say, what is unique about them? So we must be culturally intelligent, but it must be rooted from biblical relevance. Last but certainly not least, friends, we better remember that this is not just about us, but it is for the world. It is not just about us, but it is for the world. While we work and pray for revival here, we dare not forget our mandate is to make disciples of all nations. You're going to hear about a variety of things this year, some things that are already started, but a call to discipleship. Did you see the slide early on? I want to encourage every one of you, get paired up with a seasoned discipler. Hang out with them. Because when it becomes contagious in your life and you are called to disciple others, friends, that's as good as it gets. And that, my friends, is the biblical mandate. It's not just about us. It is for the world to make disciples of all nations. Even in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, did you hear the language? Stay here in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and take it where? To the ends of the earth. There is an opportunity in this day and age to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a broken world like never before. Friends, if you look at the global stats of what is happening with the explosion of the gospel in sub-Saharan Africa, in Southeast Asia, in Latin America, we are living in an opportune time for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that doesn't fire you up, friends, I'm not sure why you're here. So, let me recap. This, in essence, is what I've said. We need to preach and proclaim. We need to be concerned about our head, but also our heart. We're going to spend time in the classroom, but we have to keep an eye on the church. And we are called to cultural intelligence, but it must be rooted from biblical relevance. And it's not just for us. It is for the world. So, how do we fulfill these priorities? How do we stay focused on the job that the Lord has called us to do? Let me give us three quick things by, number one, not letting go of the Word of God. Not letting go of the Word of God. Number two, by submitting our lives to the work of the Spirit. And number three, friends, it's pretty simple. By simply rolling up our sleeves and getting to work. My youngest son reminded me of this some time ago while we were, of all things, fishing. You're supposed to laugh when I say that. Fishing. At the Yarbrough household, we love to fish. Now, I have four children, as you heard, two girls, two boys. The boys and I in particular love to fish. And about 10 years ago, my two sons and I had a goal of going deep sea fishing. Not real deep sea fishing, but just kind of deep sea fishing. Fishing out in the ocean, but not too far out that you would get incredibly sick. So we saved our shekels. We found a guy by the name of Captain Jack, who owned a charter company who launched out of Galveston, Texas. And we rented a boat and Captain Jack. And we went out into the ocean. And here's what happened. There was no wind. The sun beat us down and it was 108 degrees. And it was miserable. And my oldest son, the one in the red shirt that you see in the picture, he and I were having a very bad moment after 4 hours of no fish. I was having a worse moment because I realized that I had paid significant money for this. Jacob and I were in a heat coma, but not my youngest son, Joseph. Listen close, because he was fixated on his task. As he would tell you then and would tell you now, he is a fisherman and he had a job to do. And out of nowhere, 4 hours into it, there is no movement. It's horribly hot. Jacob and I are in that comatose state. All of the sudden, out of nowhere, boom. And Joseph yells, is yawn. And I mean, his 59 pounds of nothing jumped up, grabbed the rod, slams it into the harness wrapped around him, and he starts having a dialogue with the fish. He's yelling, "Bring it on! Bring it on!" 59 pounds, pulling, reeling, pulling, reeling, pulling, reeling. He is screaming at the top of his lungs, saying, "Come on, fish, it's you or me." At one point, it moved him from one end of the boat all the way down to the other one. I thought he was going to launch like a torpedo into the ocean. And I was about ready to grab him, and he hollered out, "I got this, Dad. I was made to fish." Did you hear his words? "I was made to fish." After 18 minutes, the battle was over. And I will never forget this picture. And by the way, at the end of the day, it was a great day for the Yarbrough boys. Hey, friends. Don't let go. Hold on to the Word of God. You have been created for this moment. Fish on. You got a job to do. Let's do it together. Amen? Lord, thank you for your incredible goodness and your grace. You have called us to an incredible task, to be your witnesses. Lord, we are privileged people. You've called us to be fishers of men and women. Help us to stay fixated on our task, realizing that by your sovereign grace, you have called us to this moment to represent you to a world that needs to see you through us. Help us to step up to that challenge. And Lord, for those that are here that are studying to be equipped, now is the time to take advantage of that for greater years of service to come. May we find motivation in your call of a job to do. May we do it well. In Jesus' name, by the power of your Spirit, amen.